From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 45 and verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. The entire person of Jesus is but as one gem, and his life is all along but one impression of the seal. He is altogether complete, not only in his several parts, but as a gracious, all-glorious whole. His character is not a mass of fair colors mixed confusedly, nor a heap of precious stones laid carelessly one upon another. He is a picture of beauty and a breastplate of glory. In him all the things of good repute are in their proper places and assist in adorning each other. Not one feature in his glorious person attracts attention at the expense of others, but he is perfectly and altogether lovely. O Jesus, thy power, thy grace, thy justice, thy tenderness, thy truth, thy majesty, and thine immutability make up such a man, or rather such a God-man, as neither heaven nor earth hath seen elsewhere. Thy infancy, thy eternity, thy sufferings, thy triumphs, thy death, and thine immortality are all woven in one gorgeous tapestry without seam or rent. Thou art music without discord. Thou art many, and yet not divided. Thou art all things, and yet not diverse. As all the colors blend into one resplendent rainbow, so all the glories of heaven and earth meet in thee, and unite so wondrously, that there is none like thee in all things. Nay, if all the virtues of the most excellent were bound in one bundle, they could not rival thee, thou mirror of all perfection. Thou hast been anointed with the holy oil of myrrh and cassia, which thy God hath reserved for thee alone. And as for thy fragrance, it is as the holy perfume, the like of which none other could ever mingle, even with the art of the apothecary. Each spice is fragrant, but the compound is divine. O sacred symmetry, O rare connection of many perfects to make one perfection, O heavenly music, where all parts do meet in one sweet strain, to make one perfect sweet.
That is gained. Jesus.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the book of Romans, he brings the final portion of a message called The Faithfulness of God. His text is chapter 9, verses 6 through 13. Although the Jews of Paul's day believed that their relationship to Abraham guaranteed their entrance into heaven, Paul states that God's covenant was with the children of promise. As Dr. Cairns has shown, no one gets into heaven because of any physical relationship or through any religious ritual, no matter how sincere. It is only through Christ, the promised seed, that one can gain heaven. God confirmed his promise by an oath, and his word cannot fail. Furthermore, God's purpose of saving his chosen ones is immutable. It stands forever. Finally, Paul presents the assurance of believers that they will be kept until God decides to bring them home, for God's people are indestructible. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, The Faithfulness of God.
Why is it impossible for a believer, a child of the promise, to perish? Because God is faithful. His word is inviolable. His purpose is immutable. And that leads to the final observation, which I've somewhat anticipated. That is, that God's people, therefore, are indestructible. They are absolutely secure. God's purpose for the believer is going to stand. And what Paul is at pains to point out here, it doesn't depend on the works that that believer produces. And it doesn't depend on the exercise of the will of that believer. It depends on him who does the calling. It depends on him because that call is the effectual expression of his eternal love. Look at verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why was Jacob indestructible? Because he was a better man than Esau? Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. He was indestructible because God says, I love him. Every time I read this verse, my mind goes back, and this has happened to various preachers, but my mind goes back to the late Pastor Willie Mullen from Lurgan in Northern Ireland. Willie was one of the most dramatically brilliant preachers I have ever had the pleasure of listening to, pastor of the Baptist Church in Lurgan. And every week, in the largest Bible class in the whole of the United Kingdom, every Tuesday night, hundreds of people would be sitting at the feet, and they'd go out moved, feeling they were in heaven, as they listened to this master expositor of the Word of God. I remember listening to Willie preach, and he came to this verse. And he said, a young fellow came to him after a meeting, and he said, Mr. Mullen, I have a verse that puzzles me. Can you help me with it? And he said, what is it, son? He said, it's Romans chapter 9, verse 13. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And Willie looked and he said, well, son, I have to confess that verse puzzles me as well. And the young fellow brightened up greatly, for he said, well, you know, what puzzles the great preacher is hope for me. He said, yes, Mr. Mullen, I just can't understand that. Esau have I hated. And Willie says, oh, son, that's not the part that puzzles me. I can understand that perfectly well. That God, and Willie loved to, because he was a converted tramp and wine victim, he loved to speak of himself as a reptile that God had saved. He says, I can understand why God would hate a reptile like me. But that God would love Jacob, I can't understand. That's a true perspective. Understand this. Esau deserved to be hated. His sins were vile. By nature and by practice and by choice and by personal delight, He despised and he disregarded everything of spiritual importance. He was a selfish, fleshly, lustful man who had no care for the things of God, no care for the things of the Spirit. If any man ever deserved to be hated by a holy God, it was that vile and vicious sinner called Esau. But look again. Jacob also deserved to be hated by God. He was a conniver. He was a twister. He was a selfish man. He was a self-promoter. He had little thought of God. In many ways, you could argue that while he had some idea of the importance of spiritual things, that only added to his wickedness, because despite all that, he was just as wicked and just as lustful and just as worldly as Esau ever was. Oh, Esau deserved to be hated by God. And so did Jacob. God owed nothing to either of them but the fires of a never-ending hell. But in love, he reached down and he took what Willie Mullen called that reptile, what the prophet calls that worm, Jacob. And in love, he lifted him. That's why we sing, "Love lifted me." When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. I want you to watch this carefully. In treating Esau as he did, God did him no wrong. I want you to understand this. There's not an unsaved man has any ground for arguing against the dealings of God. If God allows you to go the way you want to go, where's your argument? That's what he did with Esau. He did him no wrong. In treating Jacob in tender love, in the way he did not deserve, he still didn't do Esau any wrong. Though he did show the marvel of his mercy toward a poor guilty sinner. And in choosing and calling Jacob in love, he put his destiny beyond all question. And he secured him for heaven for all eternity. And you see, that's the point that Paul is at pains to make. At this point, he's simply laying it out, he'll come to it more fully in verse 20, that God is beyond the criticism of man. Never forget that. His mercy is glorious, and it's worthy of himself. As I finish up tonight, let me put it this way. Let no man who loves his sin, let no man who has no desire for God or his Christ, blame God for giving him what he deserves. Remember that. But let those who feel the guilt of their sin and yet have received the promise of divine and sovereign saving mercy in Christ, let them never, never doubt that he who chose, he who called, he who justified will never fail to fulfill all his word. God is faithful. His gospel is true. Take your stand upon it. There's no better stand. We have covered tonight some of the most controversial, sadly, some of the most controversial ground in the New Testament, and there'll be more to follow. I once heard Dr. Paisley say something that rang rather strange in my ears. At first blush, he said, no, don't say that. That's... you're missing it. But as usual, he was right. He was doing a BBC interview. It was actually a program called Desert Island Discs, where those were the days, and the young people here won't remember them, when we used to have records that you put on a platter and you played on a needle script over the top of the records. All the old folk here will know what I'm talking about. And the BBC selected a leading celebrity each week from various walks of life, and it was really a biographical insight into them and their life and their work. And what they would do, they would research it all, and they would ask the person to select 8 discs, 8 musical pieces. And the proposition was, if you were thrown away on a desert island, which 8 pieces of music would you bring with you? And they interspersed that with the various segments of the interview concerning their life. Other than the Bible and Shakespeare, one piece of literature that you would bring with you. And if you'd only 1 disc that you could take, which one would it be? So that was the background. During this interview with Dr. Paisley, the interviewer decided to get a little theological, and so she asked him about his being a Presbyterian and believing in this doctrine of election. And he said, you know, you can be found among God's elect if you want to. And that's when I said, what? What? Sounds rather strange, does it not? It's not of him that runneth or him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. But as usual, the moderator was being very, very right and very, very faithful to her. You see, like every other carnal hypocrite, she wanted to live in her sin and blame the sovereignty of God for her state. And he was saying this: the gospel calls sinners to Christ, and as soon as you come to Christ and as soon as you believe and are justified, as I pointed out earlier, you know immediately, I've been foreknown, predestined, and I will be glorified. But if you want your sin, and you don't want God, and you don't want His Christ, then don't blame God for giving you what you deserve. You want to be in Christ? Is there a desire in your heart to be in Christ? Is there a yearning for God's forgiveness? Is there a desire for His justifying grace? Then take His promise, because His promise is true. He's holding out His hands, as I pointed out at the end of Romans chapter 10. We read it, He's holding out His hands, even to a gainsaying and disobedient generation, pleading. And I would say tonight to this congregation, if there's a man or a woman or a young person with a heart that desires Christ, Christ is to be had. Christ is to be received. There's never a case of a willing sinner and an unwilling Savior. There is a willing Savior. His promise is true. I want you to understand it. He is faithful. That's Paul's doctrine. That's the basis of the certainty of the gospel appeal. He will never fail to fulfill His word to those who come in faith. For they are, by definition, the children of the promise, and therefore the children of God. May you be found in that holy band. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless Thy word to every heart. And God, grant that Thou wilt give fruit for the proclamation of it. Lord, bring the peace of joyous assurance to every believer. Give us clear views of the faithfulness of our God. And, O Lord, we pray, speak to those who know not Christ, that they may come to saving faith. We commend to Thee the preaching of Thy word, and pray for lasting fruit. So hear our cry, answer us abundantly. Part us with Thy blessing, keep us in Thy fear, and grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, may be our portion both tonight and evermore. We pray these things, giving Thee our thanks, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.